Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on this Sunday evening, and let me ask you a question. How many times have you been on Johnny Carson?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm very proud of the number.
Actually, I was asking the audience because I was going to do this whole rolling
You were asking the audience?
Yeah, because I was going to say the person that I have as a guest has been on Johnny Carson probably more times than you've been to the dentist. But since Marilyn May jumped right in and got us started, Marilyn May, how many times have you been on Johnny Carson?
Well, we hold the singer's record. There are comedians that have done it more, but I think... I know that we hold the record for having done it more than any other singer, and that's 76 times.
76 times on The Tonight Show.
Yes.
And most of them, I assume, were with Johnny, or were there guests or hosts?
Oh, there was mostly Johnny. One particular time, I think he said, somebody told me this is her 70th appearance on the show, and he made a joke. He said, that's more than I've done the show, because it was in the times when he was, you know, taking vacations and stuff, and there was a lot of flack about him not being on the show as much as normal. And
I remember that.
And
yeah.
So he made the joke. I think that she's been on it more than I have. but mostly with Johnny, of course, because we started in New York when the show was in New York, and then it moved to the West Coast, and we did it so many times in the West Coast. I can't tell you how many in New York and how many in the West Coast, but. But there were times that Jerry Lewis was the host.
Right.
And I remember Bob Newhart, he introduced me and he said, she's the singer's singer. And then he said, and that's kind of the kiss of death. and I walked on and I said, thank you, Bob. That's really nice.
Were you on with Steve Allen at any point?
Well, that was before, you know, he did The Tonight Show before...
Right.
Before Johnny did, you know, I did Steve Allen's primetime show, and he did a show from Ranch Market in on the West Coast, and that was my first appearance on national television was with Steve Allen.
Now, I'll bet you never forgot. Can you walk us through that, what it was really like being, however young you were at that
with
point?
With Steve?
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't all that young. I'm kind of at that time I was sort of the overnight success that had worked for 20 years.
Oh, my goodness.
But he heard a recording that I had done for a songwriter. He wrote a lot of songs, and he created an album of his songs. We recorded the songs where I lived at the time in Kansas City,
mm-hmm.
and the man who wrote the songs sent the record to various record companies in the hopes that they would pick up the master, you know, and
uh-huh.
produce his record. That didn't happen, but Steve at that time was he was part owner of Pacific Jazz Records, and the man that heard it was his partner. His name was Phil Turetsky, and he heard the record, and he called Steve, and he said, I think you need to hear this singer from Kansas City. And all of a sudden, there was a call from Steve Allen. My mother had taken it because I was on the road at the time performing, and mother said, and she was taking care of my child at the time because I was on the road, and she said, there was a Steve Allen that called yesterday. And I said, I don't know any Steve Allen. So she gave me the number, and I did notice that it was a California number, and I called, and then when I heard his voice, I thought, oh my, it's the Steve Allen,
right?
And we had a lovely relationship throughout his life. About 2 years before he passed away, we did 4 different tours, 2 and 3 week tours of one nighters. With Steve Allen and Bill Dana and Louie Nye.
Oh, my goodness.
And the great Paul Smith, you know, the great pianist. And we did one night. None of us had ever done one-nighters. And we did lots of theaters.
Well, you did have a baby at that point, so.
Well, no, my child was pretty old by that time. But,
okay.
But it was great fun to be with them and hear them pontificate as we were traveling. You would hear them pontificate on the rules and the way of comedy delivery, and he was an incredible man. He was just fabulous.
That's so, but okay, I kind of rolled the whole thing forward, jumping into your first national TV break. Let's as we have to do with a performer, with an artist. When did it all start as far as just knowing you could sing? Because obviously you had this whole life going on before singing became this professional career for you.
Well, my mother decided she would have a girl.
Okay.
And that she would name her Marilyn.
She made her mind up before anything happened. It was going to be a girl.
You got it, David, exactly. She named me after Marilyn Miller, who was a singer in my mother's day. And, you know, she's the one that did Sunny on Broadway, and she sang Look for the Silver Lining, you know, wonderful song. And my mother played piano. And so when I was 3 years old, I was standing up on picnic tables singing. And mother and I entered amateur contests. In those days, it wasn't American Idol. It was local amateur.
Sure, like Ted Mack and that kind of thing.
Yes, and 9 times out of 10, we would win. There was a trumpet man that played Flight of the Bumblebee pretty good. So I was always worried when he was on the show because he was my big competition. But I, when I was 9 years old, I won a 13-week radio show, and I did.
When you were nine years old,
isn't that funny?
Fantastic.
I know it. I don't think I was ever a child, but I won the gift of a 13-week radio show, and I did that. And then when I was in high school in Des Moines, Iowa, I had my own radio show called Marilyn Entertains on a radio station called KRNT, and I did that all through high school days, and then I went to Louisville and was on another radio station called WHAS in Louisville, where they had a full orchestra.
Oh my gosh.
And, you know, in those days, a half an hour show with a full orchestra.
My God, at this station we can't even afford a kazoo.
I know. It was a wonderful time, and I'm sure a great experience for me.
Yeah.
And then I started on the road. As soon as I left that station, I was on the road for quite a while, and then I married and settled in Kansas City.
So you were already a performer. I got that kind of wrong. I assumed that you had
That's what I say. I was the overnight success that had worked for 20 years because I always worked. Yeah, I always worked, and there was a club in Kansas City that I worked for 11 years. My husband was my pianist, and we had a group, a trio, and we worked 5 nights a week for 11 years in this wonderful club in Kansas City. So Steve, I was appearing there when Steve heard me, and then from that came the Steve Allen Show, and on my last appearance, that the show was going off the air, the Steve Allen Show from Ranch Market was going off the air, and an executive from RCA saw me, and they called out of the clear blue sky and said, we want to record you, and we want to do it really big, you know.
Mm.
And he was a musician also. The A&R man was Joe Renee, and he was a musician too. And he said, we're going to do it with Don Costa and Manny Album arrangements. So, though, you know, Don Costa was the Frank Sinatra arranger, and Steve and Edie, and lots of wonderful singers. So my arrangements that I cherish to this day, they are timeless. And
I assume you did standards, what we consider now standards. The songs weren't that old back then, but
did you write
any songs, or were you completely a cover artist, as it were?
Well, I got to do what I wanted to. I had the power of accepting it, but yes, you're right. I was kind of the commitment singer, and they would guarantee a Marilyn May recording if they could get the cast album.
Oh.
So I released Cabaret and Sherry and from How Now Dow Jones was a song called Step to the Rear and Let a Winner Lead the Way. And those songs were released before the Broadway shows opened. And so I didn't realize any of that at the time. I didn't really understand that at the time.
Actually, in the notes for the research on this interview, I guess it was Wikipedia or somewhere, that it said your biggest hit was Step to the Rear and Let a Winner Lead the Way, which became Iowa Governor Robert Ray's campaign theme song.
Did you know that? That's right. He hired me to do that. It also was Senator Robert Dole's campaign song, Senator Dole hired me, but where it really was good to me financially was that it was the Lincoln Mercury commercial for 4 years, a national Lincoln Mercury commercial.
That's good stuff. Speaking of which, we're having some good stuff here with Marilyn May, the singer, the wonderful and newly rediscovered almost singer.
In New York.
In New York,
We've worked all over the Midwest and continued to work, but I just haven't been back to New York until about a year ago.
Well, for about 16 years you were...
That's right.
Why?
That's right, David. Just not the right venue for me, and I was making a very comfortable living in the Middle West, and just all the dates were, you know, our bookings were around the Middle West and the West Coast. Did Vine Street Bar and Grill on the West Coast and various clubs on the West Coast, but nothing in New York. The last place I worked in New York was Michael's Pub.
Oh, well, that's gone. That's
no more.
Well, yeah, but Woody Allen found another place. I guess you have to now.
I guess now.
By the way, might as well tell everybody, buddy, where they can see, and we can all see, Marilyn May over the next month or two.
We'll be, we open November 7th for 2 weeks at the Metropolitan Room, which is in Chelsea in Manhattan. It's in the Chelsea area on 22nd Street between 5th and 6th. And it's a wonderful, warm, inviting, wonderful little room. It seats about 135 people, and it's a party every night. It's that kind of place.
There's no guarantee, but I will say, and I've been told that over the period when you've already been performing there over the past couple of weeks, there's been some stargazing going on. I don't guarantee that when you go see Marilyn May at the Metropolitan Room, you're going to see a famous face in the crowd, but... I've heard her tell that a few rather notable folks have shown up.
Well, this time, in March, one particular show, Christine Ebersole, you know, the Tony Award winner for Grey Gardens,
mm-hmm.
and Barbara Cook were there this in the very same show that night. We had, this time we had Lucy Arnaz.
Oh, wow.
And Lainey Kazan. And Julius LaRosa, and you know, every so often somebody would show up. It's been Holmes.
Are you intimidated when you see a Christine Ebersole or a Barbara Cook, a singer like that, and you know they're there before the show starts? If you do,
yes, of course.
So you know you're going to be singing in front of people who. You know, who know a thing or two or three about vocalization.
But you see, I've done this longer than they have. I've done this for a very long time.
A gentleman never asks a lady's age. However, I am, can you say, is that...
Well, I'm old enough to know
better.
What I'm doing, and, and I'm timeless. but I did, it's funny you say, you use the word intimidated, because I... When the show that they, Barbara Cook and Christine Ebersole, were there, I did turn to Billy Stritch, my pianist, and I said, you know, it's a little intimidating having these two ladies here on the same show listening. And then I turned to the audience and I said, but not much.
And by the way, I love that casual way you say. And I turned to Billy Stritch, my pianist, my orchestrator, and it's like, Billy Stritch has played with Liza and with a host of rather well-known people as well. So it's not Billy Stritch off the street. You know, you bought him a bottle of alcohol and he decided to play for you that night. So.
Yeah, well, I have always wonderful accompanists. And Billy worked with me when he was 18 and 19 and 20 years old.
Oh, my.
In Houston, Texas. So I've known him most of his professional life. And then he moved to New York, and we've been working together for the past 6 years now. And he works still with Liza, and he works with Christine Ebersole and Linda Lavin. And
he's released some of his own music as well. I know I have a yes. Brazilian album of his. That's kind of nice.
Yes, which is wonderful. He's a wonderful accompanist. And then John Rodby is my accompanist from the West Coast. He's fabulous. And Ted Firth. I work with Ted a lot. And I'll bet you know that name from New York.
That rings a bell as well.
He's wonderful, wonderful jazz player. But Billy and I, of course, Billy kind of grew up with me. He was a little boy in would kind of follow me around the club when I was when he was 18, and
aww.
And between shows he would say, "Now I noticed you modulated," you know.
A little smart aleck.
He affected the arrangement, you know. He was really a very inquiring boy and terribly talented. He was always just, he's kind of a, he's amazing. He's just amazing how talented he is.
We're talking with Marilyn May on Dave's Gone By, the wonderful singer, delightful singer, and also delightful to talk to, as I'm finding out in our conversation at the moment. I'm curious, another question that I ask folks who've been around performing for a few years is the way tastes and the culture changes, because you started singing really in the 1940s, and then you were on TV a whole bunch in the 50s and continued your career. Was the fact of the Beatles and the rock and roll revolution in the 60s, did that affect what you were doing?
I think it affected my national recognition. In the 50s, and in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, part of the 80s, I did the Carson show, and I did the Ed Sullivan show, and I did the Mike Douglas show, and I did the Merv Griffin show. All of those things were very open to me, and it was wonderful. The recording industry was changing so desperately that... Helen, would you turn that down? I've got some noise going on.
Oh, sure, no problem. I don't even
The recording industry was changing so drastically, and I was nominated for Grammy.
Yes, you were in 1966.
Yeah, that was for Best New Artist. But I was nominated along with Herman's Hermits and The Byrds.
Right. And Sonny and Cher.
And Horst Jankowski. So the category was pretty puzzling.
And you lost to some guy I have never heard of. You took his name, obviously, from a book by Henry Fielding, calling him Tom Jones.
That's right.
Nothing ever happened with him. Meanwhile, you're still here, and you're doing your thing.
Oh, well, and I just have done it for so long. I'm very comfortable on stage. Of course, we get nervous, but having other artists there is really just a compliment and really is an inspiration. It doesn't intimidate me. It's wonderful. I know... several of them say watching you is like having a master class because
very
I've
nice.
Done it for so long, you know. And I with the audience, I just consider it a big party, and everybody has a good time, and the audience participates. And I mean, I don't have community sing, but they're just so with me that it's just such fun.
I'm kind of wondering, of all the songs you've sung, and I'm sure you've been asked this question a few million times, do you have a favorite song and also a favorite song that you sing?
David, there's so many for different reasons. You
okay,
know?
Pick two or three.
We're doing this last time, the 2 weeks that we were in New York, we did a performance of lots of Ray Charles music, because
ooh.
I recorded a CD called May Sings Ray. And it's all those wonderful songs that Ray Charles did, only like I do them, not like, you know, it doesn't sound anything like Ray.
Well, you're not blind and black. I mean, that's
that kind of
well, yeah.
They're kind of jazzy the way we do them, and he did too. You know, he was a great exponent of jazz and country and all of it. But there's one tune in it that I just had never done, You Don't Know Me.
Oh, I love that song.
Yeah, and
that's Eddie Arnold, isn't it?
Yeah, he did it, and lots of other people. But I just discovered it when I was looking for Ray Charles, and I do. The audience does love it. Another one that we do just for a thrill, and it has the audience does seem to love that. So those are for that reason, and of course I love Misty and things that I recorded in my early days. There's just so many wonderful songs that I love for different reasons. One tune that's on my third album that Peter Matz did the arrangement called You're Gonna Hear From Me. And, you know, it's a great, great tune. Sherry and the composers.
Cool. I don't recall the...
I'll tell you later. I just lost it. Your people will know.
Yeah, I've got all these people around here, and I can just call out to them, and they will answer the question instantly. So let me ask you, after New York, then you go back to Kansas City, and you have... Are you still married? Are you...
No, I'm single.
Oh.
And my daughter is grown and teaching. She teaches singing.
Mm-hmm.
She was an actress, singer, dancer in New York for several years. She did that New York scene, and she was offered a position back in a wonderful school here where she teaches singing. And so she and I live in Kansas City, but of course I travel, you know, throughout the country. This year we're coming back to New York, and then we go to Vero Beach, Florida, and next week we go to St. Louis. There's a new cabaret in St. Louis, and we're working it for a week, and then we come back to Kansas City. Last night was a great fun time, I have to tell you, David.
Why?
Because you talked about comedy. Martin Short was here.
Oh my goodness!
In town, and I was contacted to be. Do you know his wonderful Jiminy Glick?
Of course.
Character. That he interviews celebrities, and I got a message that he would like to use me on stage for that. We had so much fun. It is so cute, and he is so generous. He talked about my days with Carson and his days with Carson, but it was just such a great time. There are people here in Kansas City. I've worked at so...
Marilyn?
Yeah, I'm here.
Ah.
I've worked it so long that people... you know, people know her in Kansas City. So it was great fun.
And
what great comedian.
For the last question to wrap up with the wonderful Marilyn May, what do you anticipate, say, the next 5 to 10 years holding as far as your career and as far? I mean, it doesn't sound remotely like retirement is in the cards at all.
No, I'm just going to sing as fast as I can, David.
That's marvelous.
We do come in now. We're going to be doing my tribute to Johnny Carson this time in the Metropolitan Room.
Please remind everybody where, when, what, at
it's the
Met.
The Metropolitan Room. We open on November 7th for 2 weeks, and I think it's through the 18th or 19th. I'm not sure, but I know. I even know the phone number, which
please.
Is 212, of course, area code. And it's 206-0440.
Say that again, please.
It's 206-0440.
Well, folks, I assume by hearing the music this evening and by listening to our delightful guest, Marilyn May, you're going to be rushing to your phones tomorrow morning to get tickets to see her at the Metropolitan Room.
Well, it's going to be fun because we play clips from the Carson Show. And if you don't care to see her, you're going to love seeing Johnny again.
Well, I think they're going to care to see you a whole, whole bunch. And I think it's been great to have you in the neighborhood.
Thank you, David. So nice visiting with you, and I'll look forward to seeing you on opening night.
You got it.